Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the Tuesday night open call. And we're going to have a diminishing number of these coming up shortly, which we will talk about in a minute. But it is the 25th of March already, 2014. Really amazing that we're at this point, isn't it, Jesse?
It sure is, buddy. I don't know where the hell time goes.
Three months ago it was Christmas. I mean,
yeah.
How ridiculous is that?
Yeah, I know, man. It goes by pretty fast.
You know, that was a month ago, wasn't it? It wasn't three months ago.
Yeah. It's nuts, man, when you think about it, you know?
Yeah. Good evening, Larry. We got Larry with us.
Hey, gang.
Trying to track the other guys down here in the queue. Get everybody all in here so that we're ready to rock and roll tonight. But I've got some interesting news. I've got some interesting news for everybody tonight that I'm quite pleased with, needless to say. And we'll talk about that in a minute. But we're getting John in here. Sir John.
Hey.
Good evening.
What's up, Johnny?
How are you?
Yeah, had a closing from hell today.
Did you?
Yeah, got it done.
Well,
now.
But if it closed.
Right.
It's not your type, though, right?
No.
The end result is the most important, is it not?
Yep.
There you go. Well, I'm still looking for Jeff and Terry. Yep, I think we got the rest of us with us here. And if anybody has good news, go ahead and hit one on the keypad.
Do the disclaimer. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I just wanted to tell
everybody
that.
We got to do the disclaimer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One on the keypad on your phone for good news and good news only, not for questions. So, Jesse, why don't you go ahead and do the disclaimer?
Yeah, let's just knock it out. We're done with it, so we'll be done with this call. I'm excited for you, Dave. You got some pretty good stuff there, I think, everybody here. I don't know if you shared that with Larry or not, but it's pretty good stuff. From a pro se side. Yeah, it really is. So anyway, guys, welcome aboard. I don't know how many of you are new callers, but again, welcome. Tonight we're going to discuss a lot of legal information, have a lot of fun. But, of course, we're not attorneys, so we can't give legal advice. We have no idea of even how to do that. So at the end of the day, we're going to have a lot of fun discussing situations, our situations in particular, good news, bad news, all of it, and what our follies in court are like. But again, we're not attorneys. If you want legal advice, please go hire an attorney. They're the ones who can give you that advice. We cannot. So with that being said, again, star one, raise your hand. Do not raise
star
your
one,
hand.
Just one.
Just one.
Yep.
For good news. Because a lot of people, every week, it's the same nonsense. Oh, I had a question. Wait till Dave says questions. Okay?
Yes.
So, all right. Why don't you lead the march there, David.
All right. I have some good news other than the fact that I keep getting calls from Portfolio. Break my heart. A brand new debt collector is calling me. They've already called me five times. Dum-dee-dum-dum. But the really much bigger news is I think many people know that I had a situation where in one of my cases, it's an FDCPA case, the opposing party, and I've got a rather aggressive attorney who is known to be aggressive, and she evidently decided she was going to try some scare tactics with me and filed a motion requesting bond and requesting to have the court deem me a vexatious litigant. And,
but we know you are.
I don't know. I think there might be some people that would differ with you on that one. But just the same, they filed their motion, and I filed a response to it, a rather lengthy one. And they did a response to that. Then I actually put in a motion to strike that motion. I thought I would give the court an easy out, And last week, the court struck my motion denied my motion to strike. And I had a feeling at the time the reason the court did that was because the court wanted to put something on the record in ruling on their motion. And I got a ruling yesterday on it. I'm only going to read you a little bit. The ruling was fairly short. Their motion was denied, but some of the key language in here is, defendant fails to come close to reaching the level to declare plaintiff vexatious. Defendant points the court to 20 cases filed by plaintiff in this district, but fails to explain which, if any, of these cases were dismissed as frivolous. The fact by itself that plaintiff files a large number of cases does not make him vexatious. Plaintiff has a right to sue for violation of his rights, and this court has never found that plaintiff abused the process in his prior litigation. The court also does not see how the fact that plaintiff publishes his efforts and explains how to sue for alleged violations would warrant relief under Rule 65.1b. It is therefore ordered that the motion for security for costs is hereby denied. So
that just put a big old smile on my face.
That what?
What did, Larry?
That put a big old smile on my face.
That's awesome.
Yeah. It clearly shows the court is paying attention to what I'm doing, that I'm doing things properly, that, I'm not, doing a bunch of off-the-wall stuff, that my pleadings are proper, I'm meeting deadlines of the court, so on and so forth. That's recognized, and now it's on the record. And that's really good for me. That's my feeling. I think the judge intentionally denied my motion to strike so that he could put this on the record, very honestly. I may be wrong, but I don't think so. Because he could have taken
right,
a shortcut.
Yeah, think you're absolutely correct.
So anyway, needless to say, I'm not screaming up and down, jumping and yelling, but that's how I feel inside. I'm extremely pleased with it. I'm not surprised. This is what I expected, very honestly. And now it's my turn to move the case forward, and we will be moving forward. I'm not going to discuss publicly here exactly what I'm going to be doing, but I'll be moving the case forward, and we'll see how the next steps turn out. So this is a testament to what can happen if you study, you learn how to do this and do it properly in the courts, that when you're challenged and somebody comes up with a line of BS like this, that the court will recognize, no, it's BS, and we're not going to buy into it, and it's not going to fly. So their intimidation tactic didn't work is what it boils down to. So I'm real pleased. That's my good news, along with Portfolio continuing to call my cell phone.
Yeah, those are fantastic news, by the way. So awesome.
Yeah.
Now
I gotta see if we can. I gotta track down Jeff and Terry here. They evidently were late getting on, and
put your names on. That's all.
Well, you gotta find them by number. Gotta find them by number.
Put their names on.
Yeah. No, they. I don't know if they they're in on the moderator line. That's the problem. But we'll find him, and we'll get him in.
Huh.
But let's see what we've got for other good news. Jesse or
sure.
Larry, you got good news for us?
I do.
No, I'm a fresh out. Larry's probably got some.
Okay. Larry, what do you got? You got some money?
Well, not yet. Well, you guys know the case where I settled with Capital One, and they were supposed to buy back my Best Buy account of $12,500 and zero it out from Citi.
Right.
So they sold it.
Right.
Okay. Well, they didn't. And everybody's been reporting bad stuff to the credit bureaus. And I told you all that, I guess 2 weeks ago, I found out from Citi that they'd passed on the account to a collection agency.
No.
Yeah. So I contacted them, and I had them send me a letter, which I got just a couple of days ago. And today they called me for the first time. So,
nice.
Yeah. Now, I drafted a letter for Marshall to send to the attorney for Capital One, an email, I should say, not a letter, demanding, okay, guess how much we're demanding right now?
Oh, hard telling.
Yeah, who knows you?
Well, think about it. I've got a $12,500 account that should be at zero, but it's at $12,500, so I owe that, apparently. They violated FCRA, they violated FDCPA, they breached the contract, they passed it on to, well, Citi passed it on to a debt collector. Anyway, we're asking for $25,000, including attorney's fees.
Nothing wrong with that.
It sounds like a reasonable figure to me.
Well, it actually is. You know, you start with $12,500, you add in a few thousand dollars for FCRA violations, a minimum, and then you pad it with some attorney's fees, and there you go. Anyway,
yep.
I haven't found out we've gotten any response to that, but if we don't get it, I don't...
put it on your credit report, dispute it so you can add in the S2B.
No, I did. Of course I did.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Larry wouldn't
my
be
first...
a slouch on that. If he got the credit report at 1201, he had to dispute out at 1202.
That's right.
Right.
Well, hey, not only that, but I found out since December, and I think we settled this case in October, Capital One has pulled my credit something like 7 or 8 times.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah.
They never learn, do they?
They never learn.
They're so big. And they have such poor control over what's going on. The left hand doesn't know what the right hand's doing.
Communication problem.
This is
so
what you
get. I'm preparing I don't know if they're going to give me the money or not. You know, I think $25,000 is perfectly reasonable. But if not, I'm going to prepare my third federal lawsuit against Capital One. So, fun stuff.
Well, good. Good. That's great news.
Good.
That's great news. Man, yeah. And take every bit of that you can get. I mean, you know, whatever they want to give us, you know, who are we to scoff at it, right?
That's right.
Well, good deal, Larry. That's fantastic. All right. Well, we've got Terry and Jeff with us now. We let them out of the box, and they are here to participate with us. All right. Let's go through and check several people here to find out if they have good news. I'm going to unmute you. 717, you've been unmuted. Do you have good news for us?
Yeah, first I'd like to say congratulations to you, Dave, on your good news and everybody else.
Oh, well, thank you.
You're welcome. And my good news is last week I was having some problems with the client I had settled with because they didn't fall within the agreement, the settlement agreement we had. So I talked to the attorney again. They weren't sending me the payment. So I talked to the attorney again, and I started bringing up suing in state court for breach of contract. And the next day, that's mail.
Now I'm laughing because I know where this is going. You say, I'm sorry. I don't want to interrupt you, but I know where that's heading right now.
Yeah. So they got the check to me the next day in the mail. This is the debt collector that's making monthly installment payments.
goodness. I love it.
That was my good news right there, that just the threat of suing them in state court for breach of contract was enough to push it over the edge.
Yes,
there you
it
go.
Is.
Good job.
I told you that would work.
Yeah,
yep.
You did. Yeah, matter of fact, you did say that. Yeah, thank you.
Yep.
Thank you.
Yeah.
That's my good news. Thank you, fellas.
All right. All right. Thank you very much, man. That is great. I love it. Oh, geez. All right. Hey, you know, here we go, everybody. If you want results, you got to step up to the plate. All right. Let's go to 919. See if you got some good news. Hello, 919. You've been unmuted. Do you got some good news for us?
Hello. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you. You got good news?
Yeah. How you guys doing tonight?
Doing good.
Good, good.
This is Sean in North Carolina. Had a case with Texas Guaranteed. We did our initial disclosures. Haven't been on the call in a couple of weeks, but I got it at the beginning of March. And I alleged the case for 39 phone calls, and with the paperwork that they've given me, it's actually 154 phone calls.
Oh, 11 records.
Say that again?
I said, don't you love those Bates records?
Yeah, and it shows that it was an automated dialer.
And oh, my God, they even gave you that evidence, too.
Yeah.
Wow, that's great news. That's fabulous.
So, like, right now, the only defense that they're claiming that they're trying to figure out for discovery is that they're claiming an exemption to the TCPA as a nonprofit organization.
Good luck with that one.
Yeah, good luck with that. Yeah, they're. You show me in the statute where it says they're exempted.
Right.
Nowhere I've ever seen.
Nor have I. Well, hey, very interesting. That's good.
Appreciate it. That's all I had to say.
Wow. All righty. Well, thank you very much. Man, that's we got some good news going here. Boy, I tell you, I like this.
That's
all right, let's go to 305. Wait a minute. Hey, come on here. Board jumped here on me. Come on, don't do that. 305, you've been unmuted. You got some good news for us?
All right, it's Jonathan of Miami. Good to be back.
How you doing,
buddy? I'm doing great. Doing great. I settled my first case. Got a $7,500. Real quick, $7,500. I sent another notice of pending lawsuit. This time, since I left for my first case, I actually sent it with a copy of the complaint. And within 1 week, I was offered $5,000 for a settlement.
Nice.
Oh, that's good.
Not too shabby, you know. Suing for TCPA. I think it's 21 phone calls for some service solicitation phone calls. But I told him I declined. I counteroffered at $29,000. I'm suing for $31,500, and they said no. So I filed my case today. So I'm excited.
That's awesome.
Well, good. Good deal.
Yeah, that's absolutely awesome.
Yeah,
all
I mean,
right.
It's not bad. They offered $5,000 in 1 week, so I was pretty happy about that. But I'm going to take them a little bit further and see how further we could go.
Yeah, I'm going to have to sweeten the pot a little more than that, huh?
Yeah, just a little bit more, you know. But
yep.
I just wanted to share that with y'all.
All righty. Well, that's great.
That's awesome.
Thank you very much. Appreciate the good news.
All right. All right, thanks, guys.
All right, that is great. All right, let's go to 410. 410, you've been unmuted for good news.
Hi. How you doing?
Good.
Yeah.
How are you?
Pretty good. I'm just wanting to encourage people that are in foreclosure. I was forced into bankruptcy in order to stop the sale of my home. And last week I won. Well, they didn't get relief from stay. So it has to be continuing. That was a small victory for me. And
absolutely.
I'm happy about that. And also
absolutely.
I filed a attorney grievance against the attorney in my federal lawsuit for fraud on the court today, so he has a copy of that today, and I'm happy of that
also. Good news for him.
Yeah. So that's my good news.
All right. Thank you very much.
Oh, and awesome. Another thing, when I was in my 341 hearing, a meeting of creditors in my bankruptcy, two attorneys approached me tried to cross-examine me, wanting to know who's been writing my pleadings, because they're quite sure. I said, I have, and they said, that's impossible. And I'm like, well, thank you. And the whole room started laughing. It was a bunch of attorneys. It was.
Welcome
to
the new paradigm.
Exactly.
And that's
I love
good
it.
News.
That is great. Thank you very much.
How arrogant is that, huh?
Yeah, that's great. All right, now I'm going to ask all the people that we just did good news with, would you please hit 1 on your keypad? That should drop you out of the queue. and make it easier for us to move forward on that. If you'll please do that, those of you that just had the good news, it looks like we got everybody cleared out. That makes the board work a lot better. Okay, now, if we don't have any more good news, we're going to go ahead and we're going to move forward with Q&A. And I want to remind everybody, and Jesse is in this reminder list, we've been having a lot of people on the calls recently, a lot of people with questions. I'm going to have to play the bad guy and start cutting things shorter. We need to shorten our discussions with each individual person so that we can get more people in. So please be courteous to everybody when you come on. Be concise with what you are bringing forth, your situation, and then let's get the answers and get you the help we need and be able to move on to the other people so we can get people in here. I mean, that's our whole purpose in being here is to try and help as many people as possible. So we need to kind of – I got to crack down. I got to play bad guy. So I got broad shoulders. I'm a big guy, 6'4". Anyway, so anybody that has questions for us tonight, hit 1 on your keypad, just the number 1. That'll put you in the queue. And we will get things rolling here and try and help as many of you as we possibly can. And always remember, we don't give legal advice. All we do is make suggestions based on our experience on what you might want to do in the situation you find yourself in. I wouldn't have a clue how to give legal advice, nor would Larry, Jeff, Jesse, Terry, none of us. So please keep that in mind. And with that said, let's go to 609. You have been unmuted. Go ahead with your question, please.
I got 2 questions, Dave.
Hey.
The first question is, on my mortgage, I noticed that the mortgage that I got from the court, from the recorder's office, I noticed on the back of it when I was looking at the signatures that the signature, the gentleman at the table signed our mortgage, and then he signed the notary page, not in front of us. I said that to you before a while back, but looking at it again, I noticed that they are the same individual. It's apparent that they're the same, that it's the same signature on the mortgage itself, where my wife and I signed, and then he signed it on a separate sheet that's stapled to the back, you know, or the last sheet of the mortgage. What does that do for me? And I thought that I read once on the site someplace that says that if your mortgage is fraudulent or the mortgage you note is fraudulent, you have to pay the obligation back in so many days, or am I wrong?
No, you've got that all confused. You've asked this question on the forum, and I've asked you, where did they sign? Because the notary is signing and witnessing your signature. So that's
right.
Perfectly fine.
Yeah, but no. He signed it as he was a representative of the lender.
He might well have been.
So he can play both parties. He can be the notary and the
notary just witnesses your signature.
Yeah, but he didn't witness our signature in front of us. That piece of paper that he notarized was it doesn't have our signatures on it, and he signed that not in front of us. Is a standalone page without our signatures on it.
So what is that page? That my question is, what is that page? Does that testify to your signature?
I'll tell you what it says because I got it right here. It just says
you see
that,
my confusion, right?
What's that?
I said you understand my confusion as to why. I said notary signed pretty much regularly on mortgages, so that's I never understood what the problem was.
Okay, I thought that what I'm thinking is that he could not be a representative of the lender and the notary. I thought that had to be a notary had to be an independent party of the lender and the mortgagors.
No. There's no reason that he would have to be separate from anybody. He's just a notary, and
So
they're
he could be a notary. Well, what I'm saying is like if the MERS assignment, the girl. Okay, maybe I'm trying to take it too far. Okay.
I think you are. Right. You're crossing lines, and that's where you're confusing yourself. You're crossing those lines. You know what I mean?
Okay. All right. My second question is, today I pulled my wife's credit report, and it shows that on all three of them, that this month, Chase, it says, transferred and sold the mortgage. And it says that it was closed 3/2014 on all three credit reports. If I'm in foreclosure and I'm getting ready to, and the reason why I pulled the credit reports is because I wrote the credit agencies and told them that it was in dispute, and they didn't put it in dispute. They fixed all the other information that I asked them to, but it doesn't show that it's in dispute. But now it shows it's being transferred and sold. What does that mean?
I have no idea what that means. Do you, Larry? Why would they fix some and not the other?
No, I mean, what does the mortgage mean that it's sold and it's closed and it's transferred and sold?
I have no idea. Without looking at the documents and the history of it, it's impossible.
Ask them.
Nobody's going to guess that,
You'd have to write them and ask them, what does this information in my credit report mean?
Sold and transferred are neutral, though. They shouldn't be hurting your credit, if that's what you're concerned about.
No, my concern is if I'm because I'm getting ready to file, like I've been working on my federal suit. Are they telling me that Chase sold the mortgage? They assigned it to somebody else now? I mean,
they've assigned it for sure. Have you went to the milestone or to the MERS site to see what's going on there?
No.
To the MERS site and check. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. All right, because they've already signed it. You know, they've got the complaint on me already, and before I put my motion of enlargement of time in, I was going to get my federal case filed, but it appears that something else is going on now. So I was just curious. That's all.
Yeah. Well, don't lose your opportunity on your motion to enlarge. Just put that in there and then go do the rest. Don't screw one up trying to do another. There's no reason for that.
Okay, so make sure I get my motion of enlargement of time and my dispute in.
Yep, immediately.
All right. Okay.
All righty.
Then you can
take
work
care
on
of
the other stuff. Yeah.
Yes, sir, it did. Thank you.
All right, you bet. Thank you.
All right.
Okay, let's go to 720. You have been unmuted. Go ahead, please.
Hi, just got a quick question. I'm working with Jeff, kind of an old friend of his. We're both old.
I'm just so sorry. My apologies, man.
He wanted me to ask this question because I guess he doesn't want to ask it, so I'm going to ask it. It has to do with statute of limitations and when on the 5-year statute of limitations, talking about initial contact. I've just obviously started the program and just started a couple call logs for myself and my wife, and wanted to know if does initial contact happen when they call you? Like if they called us in the past and we never answered the phone, is that considered initial contact, or do you have to actually talk to them?
My understanding
now we're talking to them.
Yeah, if they called you, that's initial contact. I don't think that you have to talk to them to make an initial contact. The bigger issue for you, or the bigger question, is when they made that first phone call, did you receive something in the mail within 5 business days?
Well, we just never answered the call. I mean,
I never made a practice of answering
calls that I don't know the number to, and they never leave a message, of course. And
you didn't hear what I asked you. You see, you ran off on me.
Did I receive anything in the mail? No.
Okay, then. There's a violation right there.
Well, I don't know if they called or didn't call. Like I said, the calls that we've gotten could have been anything. Could have been telephone solicitors. Could have been debt collectors. Don't know.
Oh, so you did not identify them by the number that was calling you.
Yeah.
Correct. I'm just saying that it's possible that they could have called me in the past, and I wouldn't have known. And whether that was more than 5 years ago, most of my debt is well over 5 years old. As a matter of fact, I haven't had credit for 10 years, and I'm when I pulled my credit reports, saw all kinds of debt collectors inquiring on my credit reports. So I'm going to have a lot of fun. But the thing I was concerned about is because my debt is so old, they could have called me, in the last 10 years, and I would have known it.
Okay. Well, just deal with what you got. You can't deal with the unknown. So, if you've got stuff on your credit reports, go through the dispute process and see what happens, and then take it from
there. That's what we're doing. Yeah, it was just a question that came up because my debt is so old.
Yeah.
That's it. That's my question.
I think about the best you could do. Just start at the beginning there. Like we always tell everybody, the very first thing you should do after you get your credit report is to dispute everything you believe to be incorrect, including any address information or anything like that, because you're drawing that line in the sand where you can start having violations after that. But if you don't do that, you're not drawing that line in the sand. The clock doesn't start.
I understand. And I'm looking forward to getting started with this, and thank you very much for answering my question.
All right, bet.
Have a good night.
Aboard.
Welcome aboard.
Yeah. Thank you. Appreciate it. Yeah. Oh, and by the way, Jesse, Jeff and Karen in Chicago, say hello.
Good. Okay. Cool.
Okay.
Yeah,
all
they're
right.
old friends of mine.
Oh, wait, all I right. thought you were talking about Jeff, the other Jeff.
Jeff and Karen doing the...
I didn't know he was talking about Jeff and her. I thought he was talking about Jeffrey and Marilyn.
Yeah. Okay.
Actually, it was Rusty who introduced them to me.
Oh, okay.
Oh, man. I better tell him stop doing that kind of stuff.
Let's go to 919.
I'll talk to you tomorrow.
Here we go.
All right. 919, you've been unmuted. Go ahead, please.
You kidding me, guys?
I believe you're the only one that can talk besides us familiar voices. Go ahead.
Good evening. Good evening, guys. Short question. A couple of months ago, I talked to you guys because when they evicted me, the attorney in the outside of the letters put the word eviction. And now, after the notice of intent to sue, they sent me a letter and it says that it's when we obtain the judgment against you, our client bought the property at a judicial sale, and when we wrote the letter, we were taking reasonable necessary steps to do a post-judgment judicial remedy. And that's an exception to the general rule against communicating about a debt with somebody other than the debtor. That's 1692 CV. Aren't they still violating the FDCPA because they shouldn't write evictions outside the letter, right?
No, that's another violation, but it's still one violation. My point is they violated multiple sections, but it's still only one violation.
Yeah, I know. It's F8, 1692 F8.
Yeah, well, did you understand what I just said? It's still one violation of multiple sections.
Uh-huh.
You understand?
Can you clarify it a little bit?
Well, you can only sue them for one violation for $1,000.
Yeah, I know.
even though they've violated several sections.
Yeah, you can have eight different violations, but you only get $1,000 per defendant.
That's
the
crappy part. It's not good. That's what I mean. It just sucks.
But
it is what it is.
Yeah, that's just the way it is, right?
Yeah, I know. But what they say, you need your remedy. They say, for these reasons, I do not see where our firm can be said to have violated FDCPA, and we must deny your claim.
Who's denying the claim?
The law firm. They said that they sent me...
Well, sue them. What do you care what they say?
I care less
what they say.
Yeah, they're never going to, you're right, we violated it here, let me write you a check real quick. It's rare that you find it. You will find it once in a while, they'll fess up, but it's rare. So, you know, they're going to try and get out of it. I mean, that's the nature of what they do, is avoid liability for everything.
Yeah.
So.
No, I thought they were right, because it's really a post-judgment judicial remedy.
Yeah, the problem that they might have even is that if they're sending envelopes that say eviction on them, you could actually start a class action if you can find another person.
Yeah. If I can find
you might want to mention that to them.
Yeah. Larry took the words out of my mouth. You might just want to remind them that, you know, this might be an interesting class action against their firm and all their attorneys, because they're obviously violating the FDCPA, SECPA, that's $2,000 a whack times however many people they've processed for disclosing information about collections right on the envelope. Hello?
Your
butt hurts yet? You know? I mean, think about it.
Yeah. Okay, all right, Dad, take care of you?
I appreciate it. Yeah, thanks
very much. All righty. Thank you very much. All right. Yep, we want to keep rock and rolling here. Everybody's doing great here so far tonight. Let's go to 717. You have been unmuted. Go ahead.
I'm back again. I got a quick question.
Oh, you're like a bad penny. You're back again.
I know. Back again. Okay. Is there a cause of action under the FCRA if a furnisher information causes you, like say you go to cash a check and that check is not honored? Is there a cause of action under the FCRA for them keeping, you know, inaccurate records?
You got to be more specific. Why wasn't the check honored?
Well, they didn't give a reason except that their computer models track different people's checks, and sometimes they decline them and other times they don't. And I just found out the company had just settled a $3.5 million lawsuit against them by the FTC.
Huh.
Okay,
I don't know.
We have a lot more information.
Yeah,
so
I was going
to
say,
from somebody,
really
you tried to cash it, they wouldn't, who wouldn't let it? Your bank and not the bank of the issuer?
Well, no, I took it to Walmart, and Walmart uses a company called Certegy Check Cashing Services.
Right.
They were the ones who got sued by the FTC for $3.5 million. Well, they declined my check to get cash, and I've been, you know, cashing my checks to Walmart for years.
Have you seen your Certegy credit report?
No, not yet, no.
Well, call them up and ask for it. It took me some doing to get mine because they wanted to know why are you asking for it? Were you rejected for a checking account or something? I said, no, I just want to see my report. So get it and find out.
So ask for my Certegy credit report.
Yeah.
Okay, I will do that. Thank you very much.
I don't have the number handy, but it should be enough just to Google it and call them up.
Yeah, I definitely will, yeah. I'm going to check into that.
Yeah. Yeah, but if there's nothing there, then, you know, I don't, you know, there's no way to know why it was rejected, but there's nothing negative on your credit report, or at least nothing negative that you've already disputed, then I don't think you've got any issues right now.
Right, okay. I'll definitely answer it, though.
All righty. Gotta take care of you.
Yes, sir.
All right. Thank you very much. Okay, let's go to 908. Yes. You have been unmuted. Go ahead.
Okay, got a question about Capital One. These people had me, I had a credit card, okay, things got out of hand, didn't pay it, and this goes back to 04. Now, they sent me letters and called me and all this kind of stuff, making me, you know, come forth to pay the payment or else and so forth. Bottom line, I have some information now that they sent me, and they threatened me to put a lien on my title, and I didn't respond, and they put a lien on the car. So I'm trying to find out if I got into the program, would that all be beneficial to me to reverse all of this?
Okay, I'm going to ask you a bunch of questions, so just quick answers to quick questions. When was the last time you made a payment on this?
04. Well, never. I mean, I think it's probably 01, something like that.
Oh, jeez. Oh,
wow. What state are you in?
Jersey.
Okay. Does anybody know the statute of limitations? I think there's only like one state that's more than 5 years, and it's not Jersey. Okay, how did they get you said they put a lien on your vehicle. Was there any association between your Capital One account and the vehicle?
Oh, no. No, I just got this vehicle. In fact, next month will be a year that I had the vehicle. So they just
okay, how did they put a lien on it? Where did they
well, what happened
file
was,
a lien?
The certain company was constantly contacting me, and I was ignoring them. So what happened was they got another company, I think, to come in. But when I got the letter, the previous company was on the letter as well as this new person. I think it's just another guy that added in. And he was going on saying, you got to do this, that, and the other. We, you know, we'll give you time, payments, and so forth. And then that one letter they sent then showing me my license tag. So basically they were showing me that we're going to make a move on your car next. So the very next letter came in maybe a few weeks later, and they were saying, listen, we'll put a lien on your title if you don't start payments or
okay.
Make a rank.
Has anybody sued you?
No, I have a court deal that they didn't ask me to come to court, but they were saying to call in and speak to the court officer about making arrangements.
What do you mean? Nobody's going to – the court's not going to call you and make arrangements unless there's a lawsuit.
Okay. Yes, it's a suit then. I think it's titled as a suit.
Did you get a default judgment against you?
Yeah.
How long ago was that?
How long was it?
How long ago, yeah.
I have one here 25th of September, one of 13th of November, and 24th.
What years?
Last year, 13.
And this is all Capital One?
Yes. Yeah. All the way from from 4.
Yeah, you can reverse that pretty simple if you just go back with the statute of limitations. But, you know, it's going to
take a little study
on your part.
Probably not if you got a default judgment against him. He basically waived all his defenses if you did that. So were you served
properly? They do have a default judgment. Eesh.
Was I served by who now?
Were you served with this lawsuit?
Yeah. Shoot.
Well, just by mail. They didn't come to the door or any of that. They just sent this through the mail.
Is that proper service in your state?
I think it is. But I called up, I think it's pro bono. I called pro bono and asked them, listen, this thing is like since 04, and they're still telling me I have to pay this debt. Shouldn't this thing already be written off? And she said, no. She said, it can go back 100 years because you never paid it. It didn't matter how long it was.
No, they're idiots.
That's what she told me, and I'm saying,
Well, the people that she talked to there were idiots.
What do you want for free, Dave?
Yeah, that's what you get. Yeah. Okay. The first thing that I just want to step up and say one thing here, and I'll let Larry go back. You cannot ignore things when they're sent to you.
Right.
If you do, it's like taking a shotgun out and shooting yourself right in the foot. You're
okay.
Just absolutely making trouble for yourself.
Or worse.
Don't ever ignore any kind of letter saying they're trying to come after you for money. Because you can dig yourself a real big hole.
This is everybody listening to this call.
Yes.
Emphasize one more time, Dave. Everybody who's listening to this call. Say it.
Yeah.
I just want everybody to hear this very clearly.
When you get any kind of a demand for money from anybody, absolutely do not ignore it. Don't think, oh, well, that looks like it's from a debt collector, and throw it on the desk or throw it in the trash. You better open it and read it and find out what it is, because you ignore it, you are ignoring it at your peril, and you could end up with a judgment against you in a blink, and they can come and take your stuff. Don't do it.
In your case in particular, all you would have had to do is motion to dismiss, because it was past the statute of limitations and it went away. That easy.
And not only that, but then you have a slam dunk FDCPA case.
Yeah, FDCPA suit.
You still do, because you're still with implementation. So that's the one plus. I'm not even sure I would mess with the judgment at this point. I don't know how you get out of
it
if you...
6647.
6600?
Yeah. That's the last thing it was asking for, yeah. I mean, it was...
How much was it originally, do you think? Probably half that or less?
Was. I think so. Yeah, probably about 25 to 31 or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah. See, they've added all sorts of fees and crap and everything else, and it's
so
all
maybe
loaded.
If he turns and, yeah, maybe if he hammers them with an FDCPA,
yeah,
and maybe in Jersey law, they'll drop it and say, tell you what, we'll get rid of this if you drop your suit.
Yeah.
Right.
I
can give them a...
Yeah, I think the most important thing that this gentleman needs to do is learn just some real basic stuff about what we're doing. The other thing is you need to go and to the court, and you need to find out exactly what's happened, what all is there, what it's related to for sure. Instead of, don't make an assumption, think, well, I think it's this thing that I had back in 04 or something. You need to go and get copies of the documents, the lawsuit and stuff that was put in the court,
so you can see who they're saying you owed money to, what it was from, what the amount was, and all that kind of stuff, so that you've got facts to work with.
That's one of the very first things you need to do after you become a member of the website, so you've got access to the website to start helping you sort this stuff out.
Yeah, and check and see if you were served properly under your state law, because if you weren't, then you've got some recourse. If you just were served properly and ignored it, you may be out of luck, except that you can still file an FDCPA lawsuit. Who was the plaintiff, do you know?
Well, Capital One, but they had another company that they, I guess it was their collections department.
No, I'm asking you a very specific question. Who was the plaintiff in the lawsuit?
The plaintiff they have down is me.
No,
you're the defendant.
Well, they have, okay, it's down below. Okay, it's down below that. It's New Century Financial.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's... Yeah, you've got a rock-solid FDCPA case against them. But you got to first figure out if this lawsuit against you was properly done, if they got the default against you properly. But even if they did, you can still go after them.
Okay. So now if I join in this, the website, you guys will coach help me to go through this thing, or am I on my own once I pay the money and become a member?
We're coaching you right now.
We have
yeah,
these
know,
calls
there's no
regularly.
One-on-one.
There's a call on Monday night. There's Terry's call on Wednesday night. I'll make the announcements of all those calls at the end of this call. And there's also a forum in the website where you can go in there and you can ask questions, post them, and get answers.
And
so,
weekly webinars.
Okay.
And bashes.
Yeah. In other words, there's lots of resources.
Yeah, you're basically
you
in the same
the
situation that several hundred of our members have gotten themselves into. So, you know, it's nothing unusual.
Okay, so there's no timeline on a turnaround on this thing once I start working on it, right? It's just whenever it's completed, right?
Well,
there is a timeline. Because you've got 1 year from the date of their violations to sue them in federal court.
Okay, great.
But if all they've done is the lien against your car, unless you're planning on selling it, in the next few weeks, few months, then...
No, I didn't worry about it, but I'm getting closer to the end of the payment thing, you know, and I don't want them to come out with a tow truck by knowing that I've already completed my financials with the person, you know, the people I'm paying for the car. So I said, well, let me find out how you guys can possibly help me out. I don't want to lose the car once I pay for it, you see, because that's why
right.
they couldn't take it, still being financed.
Yeah, that's why you need to set a – well, that's one of the reasons you need to set a timeline on – I'd be following this case in the next 2 weeks if I were you.
Okay, I agree with that. I agree. I want to get it done. I really do.
Yeah.
And there's a bunch of other stuff in the website that tells you what you can do. Like if you're going to pay your car off, you can instead of paying it off, you can sell it to a company that you own. Then it's out of your name.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they can't lien it, see. Yeah, there's a lot of stuff you can do.
There's
a
lot.
We don't like to go into all this stuff. Yeah. We don't want to talk about all that
stuff. We can
tell
you right now.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I understand. Okay, no problem.
Become a member of the website, and it's in there. And, you know, protecting your assets.
Okay. Ooh.
Okay.
I appreciate that. Thank you very much.
All righty. Thank you very much.
All right.
Okay. Let's go to 818. You have been unmuted.
Yeah.
Go ahead, please.
Yeah, hi, guys. I got a couple of questions for you, if I could. The first one, in a credit card lawsuit, how do you find out if the attorney really does represent the credit card company or if they actually purchased the debt?
Who are you dealing with?
I'm dealing with a few lawsuits from credit card companies. There's one right now with Capital One.
Okay. They're saying that the plaintiff is Capital One.
Well,
right?
Here's what I did. I went on your website and looked under the webinar.
Please answer my question.
Okay.
They're saying that Capital One is the plaintiff, right?
Correct.
Okay, and who is the law firm that's representing him?
I believe it's called Hunt and Enriquez.
Okay, so not one of the major names like Frederick J. Hanna. All right. Okay. All right. You said you went into the website and what?
I looked at on the webinar archive and the first video there on beating credit cards. The guy was on there going through a few things, and he said that most of the time that the lawyers sue in the name of the credit card company, but they have actually bought the debt themselves. And he said there's an easy way to find out how to get that information, but he never said how to do that.
Can I tell you the easiest way?
Yeah.
Pick up the phone and call Capital One. Do I owe you anything? They say no. Well, now you know.
Okay.
That's literally the easiest. Right, Larry?
Well, maybe that's what the guy doing the webinar, maybe that's what he meant. He never said, but I guess that
well,
will be.
Well, Jesse just told you.
Yeah.
That's what you
that's
do.
That's the easiest. So pick up the phone, call him. Hey, do I owe you anything? No? Great. Have a good day.
Okay. Well, isn't that fraud then? I mean, if they're suing in the name of Capital One and Capital One really is not involved, isn't that fraud?
Not fraud. It's a violation of the FDCPA.
It's misrepresentation. But
you got to
start doing your homework.
That word fraud is very loose. Yeah.
Right.
So you can't use that word fraud all the time because judges don't like it and it's very hard to prove. So it's just misrepresentation.
Okay.
That's
okay. I'll do that tomorrow then. One more question,
okay.
If I could.
Sure.
If a credit card has been charged off, the original credit card company has charged off the debt, can anybody then sue on that debt afterwards?
If they sell
yes.
it. Charge off, yeah. Charge off is something they have to do as a matter of operation. It has no bearing on you.
Yeah.
Okay? It has
it's an
zero
accounting
bearing
function.
On you.
Yeah.
Exactly. It's a matter of having to do it. It's just the way it works. So you have to – I could buy that debt and sue you. Dave could buy the debt and sue you. It would matter none.
Okay.
But there's ways
to
deal with that. There's ways to deal with that when they do that. And for the most part, you can shoot them down on that if you study what's in the website and learn how to do it.
Yeah. Okay,
debt buyers
I guess they would
can
have
be defeated.
Right. Okay. All right, very good, guys. Thanks, appreciate it.
All right, you're very welcome. All right, let's go to 919. You have been unmuted. Hey, go ahead.
Hey, guys, it's Sean again. I had a quick question, but before I ask my question, there's a previous caller who had was from 919 and with the FDCPA situation. In case you didn't know if he's still on the call, North Carolina does allow for multiple violations of FDCPA to be added to the claim, and it's up to $2,000, or actually $4,000 now for a violation.
Under the state statute?
Yeah,
the state.
North Carolina is pretty good, yeah.
Okay.
That's the Carolina Consumer Debt Protection Act.
Yeah, correct. But my question is, because I don't know if you guys have covered this recently or not, there was a case back in July 2013 in Pennsylvania, Roy versus Dell Financial, in which a judge ruled that all debt collection calls are exempt from TCPA claims, and it's in appeal right now.
Yeah, that'll never go through. But anyway, go ahead.
That was that aberrant ruling by that judge.
Yeah, I know which case you're talking about. I told everybody not to pay attention to it.
Okay. Yeah, because it kind of got me nervous. I was like, what? But I know it's still in the appeal.
No.
So I'm like, they can't use that as a defense.
Right.
Time.
No. If it's not in the statute, you can't use it. It's just like the young man earlier says, well, they're trying to get out of it because they're a nonprofit. Could care less. She could be a church.
Oh, that
I don't give a damn. You called my cell phone 50 times. You're going to pay me. End of story.
Right.
That's it. You know.
Okay. Yeah, that was the only question I had.
All righty. Well, thank you very much.
Appreciate it.
All right. Let's go to 281. You have been unmuted. Go ahead.
Yeah, a couple of questions. I'm getting ready to respond to a Dunning letter, and I'm wondering if I should maybe slip in the response to the Dunning letter, just a statement about not to call me anymore.
No.
Okay.
No.
No.
Okay.
That's your money source. Why would you want to shut off the pipe of this feeding you?
Okay.
I used to do that, and I don't do it no more.
Okay. So basically, if you receive a call from a debt collector, don't tell them to stop calling you.
No.
That's your guys' opinion. Okay. All right.
Well,
that's
and,
it.
There, and there's
those
two reasons.
Calls?
Yeah, there's
right.
two reasons for that. If they're calling
okay.
your cell phone, it's violations, and you know, do you want to stop them at 2, or would you like to have 20? The other thing is, let's say they're calling your landline. Well, you can't get a TCPA violation on that, but depending on how many times they call you, if they call you a couple, 3, 4 times a day, that's harassment, and then you have an FDCPA claim under it. So that's why you don't want to tell them, don't call me.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. That
okay.
answers
That makes sense?
Yeah.
All
it
right.
Does. Appreciate it. How
okay.
Going,
all right, you bet. Okay, let's go to 708. You have been unmuted. Go ahead.
Hi, guys. This is Rodney. How are you?
Hey,
I
Rodney.
Had a feeling that was Rodney.
Yeah.
How you doing tonight, bud?
I'm doing pretty good. Pretty good. And hi, Terry. I always say guys, but I got to include the lady. Hi, Terry.
Hello.
Hey, quickly, and I want to be concise, good news, I came on kind of late. I signed a settlement agreement with LexisNexis today, so it's a done deal, $4,500 in 10 days.
Very good.
So,
very
yeah.
good. Love
yeah.
it.
Now, two, I finally filed my federal lawsuit against Bank of America, and they have responded with a 12B motion to dismiss, and they are citing a Colorado River abstention doctrine. So I wanted to ask, Jesse, have you heard of
What does the Colorado River have to do with that?
Yeah, that's
Uh-oh.
What
it
is.
Yeah, I'm sitting here going, what?
Yeah, they're saying basically that, and they cite Moses H. Cone Memorial Hospital versus Mercury Construction Corp. 460 U.S. 1, 14 to 15.
For what? What did you read the case?
I really just got it yesterday, and I'm reading it today and highlighting it. But basically, from what I'm understanding, is they're citing four key factors that apply to this river abstention, and that's because I filed a federal lawsuit.
Oh, they lost him.
No, I'm here. That was a smoke alarm or something went off. Basically, that I've got two cases along the same parallel allegations.
You better put out there.
What is that noise?
Who's got the fire alarm going?
Yeah.
Or the smoke alarm, I should
say. If it goes off again, then I'll chime out and come back on if I can correct it. But they're saying basically that it's same allegations standing in state court that I'm claiming in federal. And to be honest, I've not answered the complaint in state yet.
So how could that possibly be?
Exactly.
Well, they're trying to muddy the water, smoke and mirrors.
Exactly. My federal complaint was FDCPA, Illinois state statute, and based on conditions proceeding using the format provided off the webinar site. Did exactly, as, you know, I followed it to the T. And my state, when I do answer it, yes, that will be specifically regarding standing and trying to strike their affidavit to try and get that kicked out of state court. Or
so you file, yeah, you file a motion with a big question mark on it, and you give it to the judge and go, I don't know what's going on with these guys. Really? How does that make sense?
Yeah, because I'm like, how the heck does Colorado abstention doctrine play into this? And, of course, they're asking, they're saying that on the FDCPA and Illinois state statutes that they are the creditor and the holder of the mortgage of and the note. And part of my complaint was, again, conditions proceed, no notice was given to me, et cetera, following along that path.
Yeah, but you still have to make sure that they qualify under the definition of a debt collector. Just
say
because the conditions precedent, don't confuse the issues, and I want you to be very clear on this. I can violate, on the original creditor, I can violate the FDCPA, and you can't beat me up for it.
Okay.
You got to be a debt collector. For instance, the Florida law, as well as the California law, if I'm correct, looks at the original creditor no different than a debt collector. But the federal law specifically says that you have to have taken the debt in while it was in default if you're a mortgage servicer in order to be considered a debt collector. Because now you're collecting on a third party debt.
So this will come down to when they acquired the debt?
Yeah, when did they acquire it? After you defaulted?
Right.
Is that part of it?
Well, let me see. They filed foreclosure against me in July of 2011. This was originally Countrywide Mortgage. So they took over in June of 2008, filed a phony affidavit in March of 2011, and then in July of 2011 filed foreclosure.
Again, it doesn't answer any of the questions. When did they take the – when it was in default, when the person who's suing you took it upon themselves, when did they take that debt? That's the question. That's all. Very simple.
Well, if I'm understanding correctly, I was already in default in 2009.
Okay, so you were in default when they, whoever took it, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's all that matters.
Yeah,
all
right.
That matters. Not when they filed foreclosure. That's irrelevant. You could have been in, you know, not making payments for 3 years before they filed foreclosure.
Okay.
So, yeah, it's whether it was in default at the time that they acquired the right to collect.
That's right. So that's what you need to look at. If they are, if they took it while under default, then for sure they are the debt collector. No ifs, ands, or buts about it.
Okay.
Yeah, but that sounds pretty bogus about what they're doing with that Colorado crap.
Yeah, I think so too.
Smoke and mirrors.
That's why the smoke alarm went off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I've not told you guys up suggest because I've got to get back to the website and review saving your home since I've been so tied up with insurance companies the last year and a half.
Suggested
next steps on how to counter this.
The counter to the 12B is you got to find out when, in fact, they took the property over the count. That's the first step. Once you validate that they are a debt collector, then you can answer them pretty easy because there's plenty of case law on that. So.
Okay.
Very simple stuff.
Good enough. All right, that's it for me.
All righty.
Okay, buddy.
Thank you, Rodney.
All right, take care.
You too. All right, let's go to 770. You have been unmuted. Go ahead.
Hello, this is Bruce from Georgia.
Hello, Bruce from Georgia. How are you doing tonight?
It's first time caller.
Well, welcome.
Question is, we've been dealing with a default Citibank credit card, and, of course, they handed it over to United Collections Bureau. And so we sent them a dispute letter that I got off the website, and, of course, they sent us a package, and in that package was just a copy of basically applying for the account, no kind of contract of any sort on there. And then behind that was about 5 or 6 pages of other people's information on their credit cards. Social Security
nice.
Numbers, addresses, all that stuff.
Social Security numbers?
Yep.
Holy crap.
Dum-dee-dum.
So I'm trying to see what to do with this. It has all their personal information.
Yeah, the agreement that you had that they sent you that was supposedly was for you, did it have a signature on it?
The copy that they sent us was the application copy, and it had the signature and, you know, all the stuff that you'd fill out for.
That's what I'm asking. Yeah, so it was, you know, it appeared to be something similar to your signature, right?
No, these were totally different people, totally different names.
Oh, okay. So what they sent you was for other people completely, everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they said other people's Social Security numbers.
Oh, okay. Well, I was thinking the first stuff was related to you, but then everything behind it was the other people. So everything was related to other people. Oh, boy. I think I have a tendency to call those people.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I'd probably go to Facebook and LinkedIn and start finding those people. And say, hey, listen, we got some issues here. I got all your information, your Social Security number. I got all this stuff, and I'm thinking I'm going to sue this guy. You know what I mean?
Yeah, because that's what I was trying to figure out what to do. Cause, you know, all this information sitting out there, and I'm wondering where my information went.
Yeah, that's curiosity. That boy, that's pretty. I've never heard such crazy.
Yeah. Well, that's, you know. We know they're sloppy. There's just another real classic example of it.
Wow. Somebody got hit with a stupid bug, man. Holy crap.
Should I write United Collections about what they've done, or what? How should I handle that?
You'll tell them. No. I told you, I try to get a hold of all the people first.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. Because it's just kind of odd, you know. We've sent them the dispute letter, and that's been probably about 2 months before we heard anything, and then all of a sudden we got this.
Right. Now, did you save the envelope and everything from that, I hope?
Yep, I got it all sitting right here on the
counter. Yeah. And that's one thing for everybody. Please perk up yours and take this in. When you are getting correspondence from these people, always save the envelopes, because sometimes the date of the postmark on them can be very relevant. That can make your case or break your case if you don't have it. So please always save even the envelope that you get with correspondence. And whatever you do, don't ever mark on the correspondence you get from them. If you feel you want to mark on it, either use Post-it notes or make a copy of it and mark on that. Never, ever mark up on the original documents for anything. That's preservation of evidence. But,
and then the only other question I got is just, we got that Friday, and then today we get a call from Global. Now they're after the same election.
Well,
so I'm gonna just
send
all right. Same
now what you
got to
do? Now what you got to do is wait and see if they send you the new company sends you a communication within 5 days, or a letter within 5 days of the first communication. And if they don't, then you got an FDCPA violation on them right off the bat.
Okay.
Now, remember, they have to send it within 5 days. You don't have to. It's not that you receive it within 5 days.
Yeah.
And that's where your postmarks come in handy. That's where that comes in to show that. Okay?
All right. Appreciate it.
All righty.
All right,
take care of you.
Yep, that'll do it. Thank you.
All righty. Thank you so much. Harry, is that you typing, making the noise on the keyboard?
I'm sorry. I thought I was muted.
Yep. 443. You have been unmuted.
Terry sounds like a damn reporting office, doesn't she?
Oh, I know it.
Whatever, man.
443, you've been unmuted. You got a question for us tonight?
Hello, am I Warren?
You're the one that's up to bat. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. I mean, 443 is a loud number. Oh, yeah, my name is Aaron. This is my first time calling. I just joined.
Welcome aboard, buddy.
Yeah, I just became a member, and this is my first time calling. But one of the reasons why I had wanted to get on to ask this question is because I have a loan I took out in 07, and it was on the Countrywide. And near the end of 08, I had stopped making payments. Well, I would say around the middle of 08, because Countrywide was being televised as going through a lot of fraud and all these other things, and I didn't. And at the time when I took out my loan, they were doing something called a no-doc loan. So I used minimum documentation. So I didn't know whether they had fraud me or not, because I had gave them a large lump sum of my savings, and it was basically like in a cashier's check. So I don't know whether they appropriated the money in the right spot or not. So I had stopped making payments. And then Bank of America had took over, and they held it for a while. And then now it's under something called Auckland. And they not really sending me no foreclosure notes or nothing like that. But I haven't been paying nobody nothing. And now the balance that they saying that I have, the money that which was payments and accumulated so much, they said I'm so far behind, it's almost $200,000.
Wow.
So, yeah. I mean, I'm looking at the last one I got is $172,000. That's the amount they say it is due now, and that's just from them paying like insurance payments and stuff like that, and the regular payments. So I don't even know even if they have any dealings with the house. I don't, because by the way the loan was done, I don't even know if they actually have title to the house.
Right.
Because it was called a no-doc loan. I don't know if any of y'all ever heard of no-doc loans, but that's
what I've
done.
There's not much I haven't heard of, pal, so no worries.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's where if you could fog a mirror, they'd give you a loan. So, or
right.
Supposedly give you a loan.
They got almost, I had a lot of money in my savings. I gave them almost $60,000 in a cashier's check for my savings when I made a down payment on the house.
Yeah.
You know, and I said big
what, how much was the original what was the original mortgage amount approximately?
The original mortgage amount was $325.
Okay.
I had paid it down to it was $270, something like that. Yep.
Okay. So what's your question?
My question is it past the statute of limitation that they can come after me? Because it's been since 08, and this is 14, so without me making payments or anything of that nature.
You'd have
what
to
state are you in?
State statute.
Maryland.
Jeffrey, are you there?
Where'd Jeff go?
I think Jeff has said before it's 5 years in Maryland. But you need to check, make sure, unless Jeff verifies that.
Now, the only other thing is latches. If they've taken that many, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
That could
well,
be
isn't
long,
that
yeah.
Common law, like a constitutional law, statute of limitations?
It's basically you didn't take the action you could have taken. You've waited too long. That's really all it is.
Oh. Well, I mean, I just got y'all a website, so I didn't know about, you know, how to really handle it.
Yeah. All that is saying, listen, you could have taken this action, and you didn't. You follow?
Mm-hmm.
So that works, believe it or not, if you do it, plead it correctly.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it worked.
All right, there's Jeff. We got Jeff back on.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
How you doing, Jeff?
Am I audible at this point?
Yeah, you're audible. Okay. What's your statute of limitations in Maryland?
For notes, it's 6 years. For credit cards, three.
Oh, wow. He's in pretty good shape then.
He needs to verify foreclosure situations because he may have something separate for that.
You say credit cards is three, and what is 6 years?
Written notes, written promissory notes.
Oh, okay. And what about judgment?
What about what?
Judgment.
Oh, you're going to love this. 12 years and can be renewed for another.
Oh, well, I can't get out of that one, Dad.
Well, there's a possibility because I did.
Well,
depends on what your situation is.
Well, my situation was I was in an accident in 97, and I didn't have no insurance. But in 2011...
No, you're not going to be able to defeat that.
Okay.
Not that kind. Yeah. No, your judgment's going to end up with the state being involved in that.
The state done already got involved. He's suspending my license.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I couldn't keep up the pay. They had me making payments on it, and I couldn't keep it up. So it made it eight counties.
Yeah.
But my economical situation has changed a lot since 08. You know.
Sorry, I'm afraid I can't encourage you on that one.
Yeah, a lot of people went through some bad times after that. So I'm still
It is what it is. People get over it. You got to keep moving forward. You know.
Right. You know. So. I'm just trying to, I still don't have no place else to stay but where I'm at, so I'm trying to figure out the best way to handle my situation.
You're in pretty good shape, believe it or not, man. I mean, you're in damn good shape. 6 years? I don't think they can come in and do anything. That's just my opinion,
sending,
but...
They keep sending me a bill.
It's not going to hurt you the least bit to raise the issue.
They keep sending you a bill. Listen, statute of limitations means they can't sue you on the debt. Doesn't mean they can't continue to collect the debt. Don't confuse the issues now.
And some people forget with the recent changes in law, mortgage companies have to start sending bills. Even though you're delinquent a couple of years, they had to start sending bills again since the beginning of this year.
Yeah.
Oh, well, they ain't never start. Each time they change, because Bank of America had it for several years, and then when they changed it just within the last year or so to Auckland, they just continue on over with the same bill.
Whatever you do, though, don't make a payment with them or anything, because then you'll reinstate everything, you see? You got to beat them down is what you got to do.
Well, I never made no payment, no. And
what I'm saying is don't do one now. They'll trick you. Oh, just send me, a month's payment, and then I'll go ahead and we'll reinstate your loan, and next thing you know, they're foreclosing on you because you started the statute of limitations all over again, you see?
Yeah, they're
very, very, very careful.
They're trying to get me to do that, how do you call it? Some kind of loan they redo for you and reduce the price.
Loan modification.
Modification.
Yeah.
They send me one of them like every other month.
They're trying to get you to reset the statute of limitations.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. So since it's been so long, what would be my move now? Since it's been so long, because really, I don't, by me doing no doc loan, I really don't think that they really have nothing.
That doesn't matter. Listen, none of that's irrelevant. What matters now is there's nothing you can do at this point. You have to wait for them to make a move. When they make the move, then you come in and say, look, you're barred by the statute of limitations, and you sue them, or you're barred by latches, and you sue them. Either way, you sue them.
Yeah, what you need
to do now is
educate yourself to understand this stuff so you know what to do when the time comes that they do something. Don't wait to start learning until they do something, and then you got that deer in the headlights. Look, start. Get into the website and start studying and learning exactly how to deal with that so when it comes, you can pounce on them.
That's right.
Right. Well,
education.
Well, I've been doing that because I was checking into the securitization And that's good.
You don't need to worry about that. You don't need to worry about that. We do securitization audits. I want your money. But I'm going to be honest with you. You don't need that. You need to study statute of limitations in your state. That's what you need to work on. I'm telling you what you need to do. Quit asking questions.
Okay.
You're in a damn good position, man. I wish I was in your position. Trust me.
Yeah,
really.
Because since 08, I mean, they all they've been doing is sending me deals. And
yep,
trying to get me to do a modification.
Yeah.
Now,
what
you do is study the statute of limitations, find out the exact date of your last payment that you got to have, and then study. Go join the site if you haven't or if you did already, whatever, but study up and make sure you're knowledgeable.
I can look at my bank book and see what was last day of last payment.
Well, good for you. I don't have a bank book back to 2008. Good for you.
You know,
all right. That take care of you?
It's been a long... Oh, no, I have one more question. It's, what about, like, on a... I do have I had two rental properties, and I weren't able to keep the taxes up on them. What's... As far as... the rental property, when they do a tax foreclosure on that, is there anything to be done about that? Or y'all
tax
don't cover
foreclosures?
Them? Yeah, you know how you delinquent taxes. You don't pay your taxes and they do a foreclosure on it.
They sell a tax lien. Well, did they foreclose or did they sell a tax lien?
Well, they sold a tax lien on one.
They can foreclose on the tax lien.
Yeah, one of them they haven't done yet.
Right.
One of them they did. I mean, it supposed to went through in February. I don't know if it did or not. I ain't had no money to pay them because it was a lot.
Well, other than curing the tax liens, I don't know of anything else you can do.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know of anything either.
I don't either. It's a good question.
Okay.
All right, let's get going. I'm sure we got other callers.
All right, yeah, we got to keep moving.
Congratulations on your 8 years, but we got to get moving.
Yep.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
All right, thanks. I appreciate you, gentlemen.
All right.
That's awesome.
Okay. Yeah, let's go to 850. You've been unmuted. Go ahead, please. 850. Boy, we got a lot of noise there. 850, you got to come up with us or we're going to move on. All right, we're going to move
on.
Yep, we're moving on. We're going to 770. 770,
hello?
You've been unmuted. Hello. Go ahead.
Hi. Okay. I have actually what happened with me. I called there a couple of weeks. You a couple of weeks ago, and it was about this gentleman that I was helping with his finances, and you told me to do a QWR, which I did. And another thing I did was I called a congressman, and I sent them a letter, and I sent them information concerning this mortgage that he has with Select Portfolio Servicing. And I'm in a process right now waiting for them to come up with a resolution, and I got a letter today saying that they would have a resolution on the 21st of the month. Now, the other thing I want to mention is that when I did the QWR, I did receive the paperwork, some paperwork. I'm not sure what all else they have. I had already asked for it by phone, and they sent me some paperwork. However, when I did the QWR, I'm still waiting for the 30-day thing. Now, and you answered one of my questions, but I was going to ask you, I received it on the sixth day and not by the fifth day, but you said if they send it to you within 5 days, not you receiving it in 5 days. Is that correct?
Yes, everything is sent date. Right. Yeah, here it is. I sent it to you on the fifth day, whatever. You're good. And there's nobody going to worry about a day anyway. Now you're, splitting hairs. It's when they ignore you for weeks that you worry about. A day ain't going to hurt a thing. No judge or anybody else going to, worry about that.
Okay. Now, the real question that I have today is something that I found out just this weekend. I was looking at his mortgage papers, the ones that they sent to me at first, just a few little things I had. And I looked at the last sheet of it, and I heard someone talking about notary publics when a little bit earlier in the conversation. When I was looking at the notary public on there, for some reason, I just decided to look up that notary public, and I couldn't find it anywhere in the county. It's supposed to be in, this person is supposed to be in Gwinnett County, and in Georgia, and I couldn't find. I can't even say if it's a male or female because they just had an S and an M for their initial, first and middle initial, and then the last name of Stevens. I couldn't find them anywhere. Now, what does that mean if the notary public?
You need to go to the Secretary of State's website for that.
The Secretary of State, okay.
Yes.
Yeah. And you keep saying notary public, and it's public notary. So I don't know if you went to the actual site that's there for the notaries. Each state has one where they have to register. So you should be able to see that very easily.
You can get right to that through the Secretary of State site.
Yeah.
If I'm in Georgia and I did that.
Okay. The site that I went into was a site where you look up the notary. And I couldn't find that notary. And I know that for a fact because my sister is a notary. And I could find her with no problem. I also
Are you
had,
sure that notary's in Georgia?
Well, it says Gwinnett County. Yes. And he was in Georgia when he signed the paperwork. So it was in Georgia. And this notary is not listed.
Well, the question is, right, when was that signed? What year?
It was in 2009. Now, I did a really good search. The only thing I didn't do was make a call yet. But what I did is I looked up the last name. I looked up the first and last, you know, the first and middle initial, which is all I had. I even looked up the date of an expiration of that expiration for that last name. I couldn't find anything. And this goes back. It was dating back. I saw some people that had notaries in 88. And, you know, so it went back far enough for this to have come up. The notary
was
supposed to
call the Secretary of State's office to make an inquiry and tell them what you're looking for and what the problem is that you're having and ask them to assist you.
The Secretary of State. Now, let me ask you this. If they find that this notary is not legitimate, what would that mean concerning this paperwork he signed? And they stamped it and signed it, saying that it was him and you know what the notary's responsibility is. If this is not a legitimate notary, do you do at this point? What would I do?
You're going to push. You could, if the notary's still around, attach their bond. But, you know, at the end of the day, a judge will look at you and say, did you or did you not sign that? You know, you're not going to get out of it because of that. But you can go get some money on. And the reason I say this has already happened to me on a rental property years ago. Yeah, a notary signed my name when I wasn't even there on a cash deal for $40-something thousand on a rental property we bought years ago when we had the business. And I said, this ain't my signature. I attached her bond. I got a $10,000 check. Then it didn't nullify the deal, though. You know what I mean? Because the judge said, did you or did you not sign it? Well, yeah, I signed it. Okay, well, then you're just going to hammer the notary. But that's not a way out for anything. But you can't attach the notary's bond. They're all insured and bonded, every one of them.
You can't. I didn't hear that last part. What did you say?
I said you can't attach their bonds. They're all insured. Every one of them is. So you can make a little money off the deal.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, it's not going to invalidate a whole mortgage. You know, at the end of the day, did he or did not sign? Yeah, he signed. Okay. So go penalize who you need to go penalize, which is the notary, not the mortgage company.
Okay. It just seems to me that they would have a legitimate notary to sign paperwork. And if they don't have a legitimate notary,
Jesse just told you what you can do.
Right, okay.
Did you have any other questions for us?
No, that was it. Thank you.
All righty. Thank you very much. Okay, we want to keep going here. Let's go to 727. Good evening. You've been unmuted. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, how are you doing?
727. Doing good. How are you?
Good, good. Question I have is we've been served with foreclosure, and we've been waiting just about a year And the question was, is there any way to speed it up? In other words, I guess I thought I heard last week on the call that you have to wait for the judge to actually see it before you can have anything to do with it. But is there a way to...
What part am I missing here? Why would you want to speed anything up?
Yeah, that was my first thought.
Well, to get it to...
Wait a minute, don't ask the question and say, I don't know why I did it.
No. To get it,
that doesn't make it sound too intelligent.
Right, I'm sorry. To get it dismissed?
Yeah.
To get it dismissed?
Yeah, what's your hurry? You're just sitting there. You should be learning.
Okay.
You should be, because even if it's dismissed, it's going to be dismissed more than likely with 20 days to amend. So they're just going to file another one. What's your hurry?
Okay. Yeah, once it goes over the year of couldn't we or do we have to compel them or just let it ride?
You're not going to compel anything. It's a motion to dismiss, for Christ's sake. It's nothing.
Okay.
What county are you in?
Pasco.
Pasco, you could do the court on its own, the clerk, should do a lack of prosecution. They call it an LOP notice.
LOP, yeah, that's what I heard about too.
Okay,
I think
that's not up to you. Let the clerk do that. Because
okay.
Here's what happens. They'll file an LOP, then they'll go to McDonald's, get a napkin, write their name on it and file it, and that's good enough for any judge in the state. Oh, that's enough activity. We won't dismiss it.
Okay, because during
just
this whole process...
Just sit back and chill, dude. Yeah, just sit back and chill. Learn all you can between now and then.
Okay, because during the process, they put... They added counsel to it. Shapiro, Fishman, and Gouch, I guess, bowed out. And now they, there was I forget what I don't have it in front of me, but they, some new attorneys kind of sent us some paperwork, said they were taking over the case, blah, 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 and then still 3 months later, nothing happened. So
yeah.
Is that activity on
hurry up and wait.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't understand why homeowners get, it's not costing anything to sit there, is it?
Okay. Yeah, I was just going to say,
you're not making
a payment. You're getting free rent right now with a roof over your head, right?
That's right.
Right.
Why do you want to speed up the end of that, the potential end?
Well, just to get it over with.
Yeah, no. Just
okay.
Chill out. Enjoy it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, pal.
Thank you very much.
All righty. Sure. Okay, let's go to 856. You have been unmuted. Go ahead.
Hello, everyone. How are you tonight?
Pretty good. How are you?
Oh, I can't complain. I'm in New Jersey, too, and I'd like to say to that 908 caller and to let you guys know the statute of limitations in New Jersey is 6 years, unfortunately.
Okay.
And that gentleman can search for NJ Courts and look up his case information. So he'll have some when he goes to the court. When he joins the site, he can look for us in the New Jersey group and reach out to us.
There you go. It's good. You guys got a group organized there.
Well, trying as well as work on our stuff, but,
it starts with trying, does it not?
Yeah. Yes, it does. So, Hiresdale and I, we're pretty much our group right now, but we're pushing each other through it.
Good. Okay, so what's your question tonight?
I didn't
We
got to
keep going.
Okay, Dave, I got in late and you were talking about your order you got. Was that state or federal?
That was in a federal court case. It's an FDCPA case. They tried to have me deemed a vexatious litigator and have to post a bond. And their motion for that was denied.
Okay. I caught that part, but I didn't know which one it was in.
Yeah.
That's it for me. Thank you.
All righty. Thank you. Okay. Let's go to 816.
Hi, guys.
Good evening.
Hey, this is Dave in Kansas City. I'm doing great, thank you. Got a couple things here real quick. I heard you say earlier that if we get a letter from debt collector, we should answer that. My situation is, I'll try and put this in a nutshell. I have one property, which is a duplex, which I purchased each half at two different times. Two different mortgages were placed on this property back in 05. This property was sold from Countrywide to Bank of America, and now is being serviced by Greentree, which on their letter it says we are a debt collector, blah, blah, blah. And so what I've done is I've actually sent them a letter of dispute of the debt and validation of verify, you know the drill. They have sent one letter to me saying that they have received a letter on one side of the duplex, but not on the other. They have so far called nine times. I have not given them my express written consent. They've done all these things, so I'm trying to compile a list of violations to come back at them. My question is, in this scenario, what would you do with the letters that they're sending me saying that I need to answer them? They've sent me a letter saying that I lack insurance on the building, but my policy is inclusive for the entire building, not for just one side. So I'm thinking that's a violation. They've contacted me during the period without validation. They've sent me letters saying that one of my properties, they actually have applied the payment from one side to the other side. So they've applied two payments to one note rather than to one on each side equally. And now they're saying that I'm in default, late on that payment, and they keep calling
my phone.
So they
misapplied it. Yeah, that's a QWR is what you need to send, because this is exactly the perfect situation what a QWR is for. For all the listeners, send them out all the time.
Yeah,
that's perfect. You send out the
QWR,
it's a misapplication of the payment. They got to come back and give you the accounting on it. Once they don't do that, because they probably won't, then you hammer down on their butts.
Right, and they received that on the 5th of March, certified registered.
Well, they have till the 25th, right, Dave? 30 days total, so the 5th of April total to answer you and get it responded to and get taken care of.
Okay,
so,
now on the question, should I respond to them on the letters as far as
what are you
going to
respond to?
Well,
yeah, tell them you already have insurance. It's all inclusive. Here's the policy. You're done.
And on the payment where they on the payment where they applied the payment to the improper side, should I call them out on their mistake?
Well, yeah, that's what the QWR should have been.
Right. They just sent this to me today saying that the payment was not made on one side of the duplex because they misplaced the payment.
Well, it's not your fault. They misplaced it.
Yes, sir. They actually applied two payments to one side instead of one payment to either side.
Yeah.
Well, check your credit, too, because if it reflects your credit, now they just screwed up your credit report. So make sure you check it all up.
Did you buy these
properties
strictly as rentals, or did you ever live in them?
Never did live in them. Just told them it was rentals.
Okay. Well, Jesse, I mean, you know that this is not going to be applicable to FDCPA since it's not a personal
owner-occupied.
Did you buy it personally? I mean, I know you bought it as a rental, or did you do it through an entity?
One was through a foreclosure mill, and the other one was from an individual.
No.
He's talking about through an LLC or something like that.
No, sir. I purchased it in my own name.
Personally. Okay.
Yes.
I'm
assuming the mortgages are different on them and the payments are different on them, correct?
Correct.
Okay, yeah. And see, that should have been obvious to them when they got that they were applying it to the wrong one.
Well, I'm wondering if it was intentional since I sent them the QWR.
No, they ain't going to fool around with that.
Okay. The other thing I've got, just for fun, I actually went to the Secretary of State and I did my all-cap name as my doing business as,
I have my all cap name as a DBA. So it's a little confusing for them, but it's just a little bit of fun I've had with my local authorities.
Good. Yeah, but I would definitely just follow up with that, pal, for sure. All right, let's get moving, Dave. It's getting 20 kills. So let's keep trucking. All right, buddy.
I'll take my deal.
All right, let's go to, is that 216?
Good evening.
Good evening.
Hi,
how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you, gentlemen and lady?
Good.
Good. I'm calling to find out how do I get on to the webinars on Wednesday, because I didn't receive like a link or anything last week Wednesday to get on the webinar. I am a member.
You go to the site Go ahead, Nick.
Yeah, well, I was going to say you should get an email, but if you don't, you just go on the website and go to the section, look on the left for upcoming webinars.
Yeah, the whole schedule's there with all the key codes and everything else you need.
Yep.
Okay, no problem. And I also wanted to make a comment to the gentleman from New Jersey who has the title lien. Well, the company has the title lien against him. If he wants to research to how to vacate a void judgment in his state or county, and that should give him like a wealth of resources.
Yeah, Jeff said the problem is when you have a voluntary judgment because you just basically didn't do anything, that's almost next to impossible to get. That's the problem that he has. So he just didn't do anything. So if he'd have fought it and then got a judgment, and then he could go back and say void that judgment because, you know, he didn't even fight.
Oh,
all.
Okay.
Yeah, that's just, like, and that
no
goes
to
back
it.
To what I was saying, and Larry had me say again that's so important. Don't ever, ever ignore a demand for payment or information from a court, especially from a court. Oh, if you get paperwork from a court, you're probably sitting on a lawsuit. And if you don't know what to do, if nothing else, get on one of these calls on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday night and have that information in front of you when you do it. Don't come on the call and say, well, I got this and that. Well, what does it say on this? Well, I don't have it here right now. That doesn't make any sense. Get on the call, have the stuff there so that when you ask us a question, we ask a question back, you can give us the information so we can help you. And because at those times, time is of the essence. Don't think you can wait. No, well, you know, I'm busy for 2 weeks and, you know, I'll get on the call. No, you get on it yesterday, please.
Yeah.
Because you're killing yourself if you don't, okay?
I thank you, gentlemen, so much for your time and, you know, what you do for everyone. Have a great evening.
All right. Thank you
appreciate
very much.
Thank
appreciate
you.
Your comments.
Yeah.
All right. Let's go to 347.
Yeah, good evening.
347.
Yeah, I'm here. I'm on?
Yes, you're on. The spotlight's on you. Can't you feel the heat?
All right, fellas and ladies. And listen, yes, I have a case, a foreclosure case that was dismissed recently, right? And the plaintiff is trying to bring it back, trying to restore it. And when I was last in court, the judge decided that possibly a loan mod can be done. I say, Judge, these people standing right here before me, I don't think they in position to even consider a loan mod for me. She said, well, let's try it out anyhow. Any suggestions? Because they're supposed to come to court with some loan mod papers.
Well, again, it's up to you to remind that judge that you're not going to sit here and pay somebody who you don't even know has the ability or the right to collect this mortgage. You got it. Son, Larry, would you not agree on that?
Yeah, that's why that's ludicrous. Then I may have to come back and pay someone again if the right person comes up. With the right
paperwork. They have to show you that they have the right to either that or they can indemnify you. Tell a judge, I want to be indemnified. How are they going to do that?
because, you know, I was trying not to. It's Jesse, right?
Yeah. You can't, yeah, listen, you can't be intimidated. And I understand you don't want to make the judge angry, but at the end of the day,
right,
you can't
right.
renew
at
a contract.
At the same time, I want to, you know, invoke
that's
my
right.
right and, you know, and stand firm.
That's right. And you should be able to do that without a problem at all.
Right.
You can't let them bully you into this nonsense. That's ridiculous.
Right. And these judges, I mean, they're playing, they're not even... I don't know, what role are they playing at this point? I mean...
nothing. They're debt collectors for the bank.
Ah, they're a part of the debt collector team.
Yeah, they're acting as representatives for the bank to collect money.
That's right, and for everything else. You never go to court without paying
yeah.
money. There's always an exchange of money. I don't care
yeah.
for what reason you go to court. There's money
right.
that's exchanged in them courthouses every day, all day long. They're
yeah,
nothing
that's
but
their whole
debt
business.
Collect. Yeah.
It's a conduit for commerce, huh?
Yeah, that's all it is.
All right. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, pretty much. Oh, yeah, one more thing. Okay, this is a little straight, a little off for foreclosure. When it comes to car repossession, right, there's actually no due process there, really.
Is zero. It's the only process in the world that we know of that has no due process. That's why you can hide the car, you can play all the games, and there's nothing they can do about it because it's a civil matter.
And nobody have raised any making any changes where they just can come out of nowhere and just snatch your property up.
No, of course not. Nobody talked about that.
No, they aren't going to do that.
Yeah.
We're going to leave it
yeah.
just the way
so
it is. You don't pay, they're going to come and grab it.
That's right.
All right, people, stay on the right side. Y'all been doing a fabulous job, to say the least.
We try to stay on the right side.
Yeah, more than what your government shows. Thanks a lot.
Well, just about anything is better than that, isn't it?
Yeah.
All righty. Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's just, like I said, just about anything's better than the government. All right, let's go to 256. 256, you're
Hi.
Unmuted.
Hi, this
Good evening.
Is Stan. Are you hearing
Good
me?
Good evening,
okay?
Stan. Go ahead,
hey.
Stan.
Okay, I'm a fairly new member. I've only been a member about 3 months, but I'm still struggling with a foreclosure. They have tried to foreclose on us twice already, and now they're trying to do it one more time. We stopped it with a bankruptcy filing. Both my wife and I did separate ones, and that delayed it. But the thing is our original loan was run by a company in Florida, and they never introduced us to the new processors, and we're on the third one now. Now, the third one identified themselves as a debt collector, and now it's through them that an attorney, who also has identified themselves as a debt collector, is trying to foreclose on us. Now, I'm not sure in the way to handle it. We have up to 20 calls from the debt collector that would fall under the TCPA, I think that is.
Yep.
The one where the...
those your cell phone, yeah.
Yeah, and they were all on our cell phones, so it's $1,500 apiece. That's about $28,000 we got right there. But what I'm trying to figure out is how to proceed. Should I take that to the federal court separately?
Include everything you got in there, FTCPA, FTCPA. If you got it all, include it all. Why not?
Okay. Now, what about... they tried to do a loan modification, and then as we talked to them about the loan modification, then they made it to us, and then before we even could say yes or no, they changed all the numbers on it. So I'm wondering if that's a Truth in Lending one also.
No. It's a loan mod. It's not. They're not giving you a new loan.
Yeah.
Just a loan modification, so it wouldn't apply.
Okay, so then that wouldn't apply. Okay,
no, I'd stick to the easy stuff.
I'm down to that point where I'm about ready to file something, and I must say thank you so much for all the information I've gotten. I've been on the website, I don't know how many, it seems
hours?
Hundreds of hours.
Yeah, there's more
there's
information
there,
than you can read
there?
A lifetime, right? Yeah.
Oh, it's been fantastic. I'm just getting to that point. I'm trying to figure out which is the best way to do is. Now, is there a possibility, I don't know whether this would be a possibility or not, if we file the federal one for the telephone and all that, would that possibly stop the foreclosure?
If you file a lawsuit, you can move for an injunction. Yeah, there's no doubt about it, but I don't know if that'll stop your foreclosure. I mean, how long ago did you guys file those little BKs?
Well, there was one in June of last year, then another one in September of last year.
You can file whoever's the longest one, you could file again. There's not a whole lot they can do about it.
Yeah, well, yeah. I understand that, So you think that would be worthwhile to block it again?
Oh, like the day before, just to fool with them. Yeah, why not?
Yeah, okay. But anyway, they've already put it in the paper and everything, and they've got it for April 15th that they're going to
so
do
April,
it.
Yeah, April 14th you file. Or 13th
okay.
If you want to just feel safe.
Okay, yeah. But What I'm really planning on doing is going ahead and file that federal one for the other thing.
Yeah, you do that alone, yeah.
What is it, the TCPA and the...
TCPA, FDCPA.
DCPA.
Right.
Yeah, the,
Fair Debt Collection
because,
Practices.
Yeah, and the thing is they stated right in their letters that they were a debt collector, and I've never received a forwarding of it from the original.
Yeah, notice of assignment. Yeah.
Yeah. They
never
did
got the
do
hello
that.
Goodbye.
Now, yeah. Well, we got a hello goodbye, but it wasn't from them. And
oh,
the problem
no worries,
is,
but you never got one.
Okay. And the other thing is we're in this darn state of Alabama, which says that they don't have judicial foreclosure.
Well, they don't. Only 16 states have judicial foreclosure, so
yeah.
you're not special.
Okay. Well, then I just proceed with what I've been thinking of, and I got all that from the site, and I'm asking now and clarifying to make sure I am proceeding in the correct direction.
Yeah, I think. I mean, what's the balance on the house?
Well, the balance on the house is $121,000, and the property is, they are showing it as $105,000 or something.
Yeah,
if
so
the,
if you got, you know, 100, if you got FDCPA of $1,000, I don't know what the Alabama law is, but, you know, throw whatever, maybe nothing there. But if, how many calls did you say you had?
I have 19 calls.
Yeah, first
but
one's
I've got
500,
documented,
and after that,
yeah, I've
yeah,
got documented 19 with date, time, and who.
Yeah, that's perfect.
Very good. Very good. No such
okay.
thing as too much evidence.
Okay, well, we've even got recordings of some of them.
Well, good, good. Well,
okay.
Sounds like
well,
you're on
I
track.
Just,
you're getting your studying
okay.
done. That's great.
Well, it's taken me a couple months before I've gotten to this point where I even was thinking I could call you. So
that's
anyway,
all right.
Thank
we
you.
Didn't bite either, did we?
No, that's the best part, and it's encouraging what you've told me. Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
Have a good
all
evening.
All right. Let's go to 708. I think that's Rodney again.
Yes, it is. Got a quick question for Jesse. With a trial modification, does that in any way reset the clock on a default status?
I believe it would.
Hmm. Okay.
Yeah, I really do believe it would. I mean, you know, I don't know of any case history on it, but I do believe it would.
Yeah.
And
yeah, once you make a payment, once you make an agreement.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. That's the problem with that, man. You know, unfortunately, we get snookered in. That's why I say, don't make a payment, don't make a payment.
Yeah,
you know,
I didn't know all of this, but even in this case, I do recall that in February, when I did make what I considered was my last payment, they sent that payment back.
Yeah. Yeah.
They just stopped and all of a sudden said, we're moving forward with foreclosure. And I was like, I thought I was on a trial modification, and they never gave me any specific reason, and they were already setting themselves up to file the foreclosure that following summer.
Right.
Okay. Okay, so it still then depends. If that resets the clock, that's different. Okay.
Yeah. That's why I'm not a big fan of modifications. I'm just not. You never hear me talk about them, promote them, you know, but I will say that if it's what suits you and your family, do it.
Yeah.
You know, that's what you got to do, what's best for you and the family, not what's best for anybody else. So, but me personally, nah, I just stay the hell away from them. I just assume move and take it to trial and take my chances.
Then,
you know,
in the case of them acquiring Countrywide, and when Countrywide went under, would that be in any way a possible defense? Affirmative?
No. 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 Because Bank of America absorbed them, and then, you know, Nation Star's taking over a bunch of Aurora and Bank of America loan servicing and defaulted mortgages and everything else. So, you know, your issue was statute of limitations, and by paying in, you kind of screwed it up.
Yeah.
I hate to break your, you know, bad news, but that's just the way it is.
Okay. Well, okay. What would be a suggested next step at this point, if that be the case?
There's nothing you can do at this point to reset. You know, I mean, just use your regular defense. I don't know what all your details are.
Yeah.
So, you know, you'd have to fight whatever details you got. I mean, it just is what it is.
Okay. Okay.
You know
it.
What I mean?
Alrighty.
Yeah, I'm going to figure out an angle somewhere.
Yeah,
right,
there's plenty of them out there. Yeah, there's no doubt there's plenty of angles out there. You just got to figure them out, but they're there.
All right. Thank you.
All right.
All right. Thank you, Rodney.
Bye-bye.
All right.
Got to hate to hear that. I really do hate to hear that.
Yeah, I hate to hear that whenever mm-hmm. I hear somebody's made a payment and restarted things. Okay, we're probably
yeah.
going to go into our last call here, last caller, 916. You have been unmuted. Hello, 916. You've been unmuted. Go ahead. And evidently they're not there, so we're going to go to 781. See if we got somebody at 781.
You do. My question is taking over a loan during the issue of taking over a loan during default to determine whether it falls under they fall into the debt collector pot or not.
Right.
So is it the time of the hello goodbye letters, or is it the actual day of the assignment or the alleged assignment? We have to always say.
Generally, assignments are done after, so I don't know. You'd have to, whatever one comes first is the way I would use it.
So the default happens, and then they do the assignment, say 6 months later, which is the case with my loan. So what date? When do
whatever
when
benefits
they...
you? That's the date. If
oh,
you
really?
Defaulted. Well, yeah, if you did defaulted and they take the assignment or assign it 6 months later, they obviously just took it under default. There's no question about it.
Okay, so that's, yeah, that maybe you didn't understand my question, but that's it basically that it's the date of assignment that's officially, that's why we have assignments, I would assume, that makes the time at which they
yeah.
Quote,
I just
quote,
I don't want you to get confused. There's a lot of assignments that are backdated. So,
now,
you know.
If you default on January 15th and it's assigned in May or August,
yeah.
then it's in default when they assign
yeah,
it. Therefore, they are a debt collector.
Right.
That's right.
That's what I thought. I thought otherwise.
Yep.
What the hell do they have
That's,
assignments
yep.
for? Yep.
Yep.
Very good. Okay, we'll be back at you next week for something else.
All right. Well, don't forget, we have the webinar tomorrow I'm doing. It's just an open Q&A on foreclosure because we've had so many people foreclosure lately. I thought I'd do another just Q&A open call.
Yeah,
for
what
all
time
your foreclosures.
That?
3 o'clock.
O'clock.
Yeah,
good.
Eastern. Yeah.
Good. We'll see you there.
Okay, man.
Riff Boston,
all right.
Thank you.
Okay, well, Jesse, why don't you go ahead with the announcement again of what we're doing with the FCRA, because we're going to be starting with that.
Yeah, April Fool's Day, guys. April 1st, we are starting the FCRA series that's going to go all the way through, I would say, midsummer. It's quite a lengthy project.
End of July, somewhere around there.
Yeah, yep. Yeah. It's lengthy because there's a lot of information. And the FCRA can get very convoluted and complicated. So it's, you know, I want Terry knows it inside and out. Larry knows it inside and out. We want to use it to make sure that our members really get a grasp on it. And that's going to be a lot of fun. To me, that's going to be a lot of fun. And I promise you guys are going to be very, very surprised at what you find in there. I think it's going to blow your guys' mind away. There's a lot of stuff that's just not on the site. It's impossible to put everything on the site, literally impossible. And don't forget, April 1st, if you're not a member, you're not going to be on there. And if you're not a member, you're only going to get be on this phone every other Tuesday. Because once we do that, we use every other Tuesday as part of our webinar. So just remember that. That starts April 1st. And then tomorrow I'm doing a Q&A on foreclosures. You heard 3 o'clock Eastern for the members. And then tomorrow night, Terry's got her call, right, Dave? Well, you're going to go through Terry's call and
yep.
And all that. So
I'll cover that.
But that's
stuff,
what I
so.
Have, guys. Yeah. What lies in your credit report? That's going to be fun.
Oh, tell Gary I typed all those slides up during this call, so I'll send them off to him in the morning.
Yeah, yeah. Just send them off.
Okay.
He gets all grumpy about bugging him at 10 o'clock at night.
Yeah. He wants to sleep a little bit.
Exactly.
Okay, And you know, just so everybody knows, we have a fabulous webmaster that handles all this stuff. He is an absolute ace. He's a pleasure
yes,
to work with. Boy, I'll tell you, he really is.
Yep.
But anyway, again, Jesse, tomorrow afternoon at 3 o'clock. Terry is tomorrow night at 8 o'clock Eastern. If you're not on Terry's mailing list, send an email to queensongbird@gmail.com. Just say, I'd like to be on the list. And do it tonight. Do not wait until tomorrow afternoon. If you do, you're probably not going to get your email in time to get the information. Don't
In fact, I'm
don't
sending
wait
those,
last second.
I'm sending those emails out right now. So
yeah.
Get on the list. Hurry up.
Yep. Get it done. And then, again, just a reminder, like Jesse was just talking about, next week, next Tuesday night, is not going to be an open call. That's the first week for the FCRA webinar series. And our next open call on Tuesday night will be 2 weeks from tonight on Blog Talk Radio. So keep that in mind. Then, of course, next Monday, you have Dallas Debt Discussion. That is still on TalkShoe. We've almost done 5 years now. It's 54318, and that starts at 9 o'clock Eastern. So, again, as I've said so many times, these calls are a support mechanism. They are absolutely in no way a replacement for being a member of the site, because what you get here is bits and pieces of information. You need to be a member so that you can look at the whole complete package of information with all of these different things on TCPA, foreclosure, FDCPA, being a plaintiff, dealing with phone calls, dealing with credit reports. If you will learn, you can get good results. We have lots of people that are getting great results, both dealing with lawsuits against them as well as becoming plaintiffs in the federal court and in small claims court, and getting the remedies there. So it's all up to you to educate yourselves. We make ourselves available. We can't pound it into your head. You have to want it. So with that said, I think we're all done tonight. Thanks to everybody
yes,
for joining us. And remember, we are going to have the next open call in 2 weeks. Good night, everybody. Why 2 weeks?
Tonight. Oh, that's right. April 1st is already next week. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Dave, I've been at this for too long this last 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Holy
Aren't
Lord.
You glad I know.
Guys, yeah, man. God bless everybody. Thanks to all our moderators. Can't do it without you, man. Appreciate you. You guys all have a terrific
right.
week.
Have a great evening, and I'll probably talk to many of you tomorrow night on Terry's call. Good night, everyone.
All right, buddy.
See you tomorrow. Good night.
Night.